Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. So we're officially getting started. Welcome to Metron Community, or when I'm not in the theater, as we call it, Mobile Metron. Happy Mother's Day. I'll be taking my mom to lunch after this. And Sophia's in town. She actually came in town. A friend of hers is in a play this weekend. Hey, Chandra. So she used her birthday money to fly in. And but Jared went to pick her up this morning to take her to breakfast. And then he's taking her out to my mom's. And then I'll go pick them up when this is over and go to a place that she likes. And she's had a little issue with her back. So, Mom, if you're watching this, we're sending healing vibes to you. And thank you, Dr. Sheila, for making a house call. That's amazing that you did that. We never take it for granted. Welcome to Metron, as you guys are logging on and saying good morning to each other. And, you know, as I have said before in years past, Mother's Day is... sort of, in the past, it has been my least, hey Sarah, it's been my least favorite day to minister because people are very typically emotionally distracted. They're not that way on Father's Days, but fathers are kind of low priority, unfortunately, with a lot of people. But mothers are huge. And so I've kind of worked through that. Back when I was a kid, I remember always, hey, Ann, from down in the tropics, good to see you. And we've never met, but the words you send me about my meditations, they really mean a lot. They really do. I never take it for granted. Thank you. But I remember back in the day, hey, Miss Leona, hello to you and Ernie. Always on the day before Mother's Day, my dad would always go to the florist, and he would get two boutonnieres for him and for me, and a corsage for my mom. Back in the day, I guess people in traditional churches still do this, but if your mom had passed on, you wore a white flower. If she was still alive, you wore a red flower. And I remember we were raised in the Church of God, and thank you, Ann. And I remember in the Church of God hymnal, which I guess, I don't know if that's the one they still use. Hey, Dr. A. There were more songs about, they've got the little place in the back of the hymnal where the hymns are divided by topics, and there were so many songs about mother. There were as many songs about mother in the Church of God hymnal as there was about Jesus. You can tell it's very high priority. Of course, I'm thinking about Ken today. His mom has already transitioned, and I know he misses her. And some of you, hey Jeanette, this may be your first Mother's Day without your mom. And that's quite a rite of passage to get through that first one. So I'm sending some peace and strength to you. We just acknowledge the second anniversary of my dad passing this week. It's hard to believe it's been 2 years. But thank you for all your kind words about that. Hey, Romanita. Hey, Heather. Those of you that are just now logging on, I've already said that I'm a little dark right here because I'm under an awning. But when this burns off, is it Suzette? Suzanne, well, we're sending special grace to you today and peace and strength and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That's always a challenging one. And I didn't send her a message this morning, but I always think about Reba Rambo on Mother's Day because Dottie, her mother, actually passed on Mother's Day. So, that's always something she has to deal with, but it's all good. And, hey, Constance, those that are on the other side to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, and you will be reunited with them. And I believe that people on the other side of the veil are very aware of us on this side, and we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And so, you know, if you feel like you get a message from your mom today, just, you know, go with it and enjoy it. She may speak to you through any number of methods. While you're coming in, let me give you a couple of announcements. We will be back in the theater on the first Sunday of June. Hey, Karen. June 6th. And somebody that I've known his whole life, Jefferson Banks. I call him JL, but his stage name, he uses his full name. He's going to be with us, and his family was a great friend to Church of the Now, my ministry for many years. And he's sort of a budding country singer, and I've never had a country artist before. I guess he can. Jefferson, if you're watching this, I guess you consider yourself country. If you don't, I didn't mean to insult you. I mean that in a positive way. But he's going to be with us first Sunday of June, and that's going to be good. He's a real good guy, and you'll love his energy. And then we'll be back in the theater the first Sunday of July. Not sure what that date is, but for let me just say this again without trying to sound sarcastic. For those of you who forgot last week that we were meeting, and if I say it was... Oh, is it? That's right, Rhonda. I forgot that. You're right. So we're sending strength to you and especially to Alan. But several people said, I forgot it was this weekend. And I said, hey, Romanita. I said, well, it's in your shout out. And inevitably somebody will say, what's the shout out? Let me say this again. Hey, Linda. Let me say this again. Let me devoid myself of sarcasm. That email that we've been sending you faithfully every week for 8 years, that will always remind you. And all you have to do, we send it to your email. We call it a shout out. I always post it on my main page, on my fan page, on the Metron community page. Other than just driving to your house and blowing the horn for you, I don't know how else to remind you. And look, I can't really yell at you because my building sends out an email every month and I never read it. And usually there's something going on and I'll say, hey, Lynette. Oh, thank you, Linda. Thank you. Inevitably something's going on in the building and I'll say, when did that happen? And they'll say, well, it was in your email. And I think, oh, okay, touche. I guess I should read that. I bought this place years ago, but I didn't live here. I bought it as an investment. I've owned this for nearly 19 years, but I've lived here since 2011. So for years, I just got used to not. I didn't go to the HOA meetings, and I didn't read the emails, and. So I know what it's like to look at an email and not read it, but if you don't want to, I mean, you missed it. Last week in the theater was really good. I mean, it was. I had a good word. So anyway, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying, read that thing, and you will never, like, half the stuff that people text me and ask during the week is stuff that's already in your shout out. And all you have to do is click on that thing, and you'll be happy and informed, and I will not be driven to sarcasm. So, first Sunday of July, we'll be back in the theater. I always want to say in the theater. First weekend of August. Hey, Christy, which will be August the 6th and the 7th. We will be having meditation weekend number 15, our 15th meditation weekend. We're going back to St. Simon's, magical St. Simon's, I think this is probably the fourth one, at least the fourth one we've done there. And hey, Michael, and everyone we've done on St. Simon's has been amazing. There's something about the chemistry of St. Simon's with the energy of the Metron community. It's a wonderful combination. Last time we were there is when that amazing double rainbow appeared over us, and then once before we were there is when they had a blue moon. It seems like St. Simon's is very conducive to natural nature phenomena. So I can't guarantee this is going to happen, but it looks like I've already got about 50 people that are in the group to go, which I don't remember ever having that many people already signed up or booked to go this early. So this promises to be a really good one. We're also going to be observing Metron's 8th anniversary that weekend. So the two things to remember, both have 6 in them, that I just said, is June 6th, we'll be back in the theater, Jefferson Banks will be with us, and August 6th and 7th, as always, we'll do, it's 11-11, I just noticed. Yes, it does, Jeanette. You're right. Science and spirituality. They're power twins. They're not at odds with one another. But this one's going to be really good. So just go ahead and book your room. And like I always tell you, if for some reason you get down to it and you can't go, you can, most of these places, you can cancel within 48 hours. So it's a... yeah, I just noticed that too, Ann. 11-11. I always notice it. But this is going to be a really good one. And I say that about all of them, but I do have a really good feeling about this one. Hey, Dr. Mabry, and thank you. You can reach your email. Hey, Dr. Mabry, thank you for what you wrote about Ken and me this week. That was very sweet. I don't take words like that for granted. Yeah, it did. I'll never forget that double rainbow, especially it hadn't rained that day. That's what was so strange about it. I mean, I'm sure rainbows appear on St. Simon's. I've been going to St. Simon's my whole life. I've never seen a rainbow there. But it wasn't just the grandeur of it, it was the timing of it. We were right in this moment of people, it was our 11th one, and people were sharing a list of 11 things that for which they were grateful, and all of a sudden I hear this, scream on the beach. People were just so taken aback. It was, you've seen pictures of it. I even did a painting of it that Jackie has now. So, I'm really looking forward to... August 6th and 7th. We'll do a sunset on Saturday and a sunrise, hey Tim, on Sunday the 7th. All right? Yeah, it was. They're all incredible. Every one of them's been different. This last one that we did was unusual because we observed the elements, the Christian traditions, because it was Easter weekend. We did communion and water baptism, and that was great. That's not necessarily a template for what we're going to do from now on. That was sort of a special thing. I'm not saying that if somebody asked me to baptize them, I wouldn't do it on a meditation weekend, but that's this next one we go on is really going to be about meditation again. Hey, Greg. I was speaking of which, Greg and Michael went on this last one, and they're going on the next one. And I told him, they loved it, but I said, don't judge the last one was great, but don't judge these meditation weekends by that last one, because that was very different. It was good. It was necessary. When so many of you told me you hadn't taken communion in 20 years, or some of you had never been baptized, then I thought, well, we really did the right thing. It was powerful, but it was sort of a one-off. This next one will be back to, into full meditation mode. Speaking of which, let's do a couple of affirmations, and then we'll do a little bit of breath work, and then I'm going to rock your world and change your life with a powerful word. So, hey, Stephanie. So, I don't want to make a religion out of this, but I like to think of Yes, Jeanette, I think it was necessary for many people. I think you speak for several people that were there, because you're not the only person that told me that. And hey, BJ, I think it was necessary. The fact that the synchronicity of it worked out for us to be there on Easter weekend, it was wonderful. Like I said, I don't want to make a religion out of this, but I think of affirmations as progressive. So we start by saying something like, I am peaceful. Then we take it to the next level, I am peace. And then the ultimate is I am. So I'll say it when I motion to you, that's when you say it. And don't just think it, say it out loud, even if you just whisper it. There's something about putting the energy of the word out there that is very powerful. Yes, I believe it was life-changing too, Leslie. So we're going to say, I am healthy. I am health. I am. I am healed. I am healing. I am. I am joyful. I am joy. I am. I am happy. I am happiness. I am. I am well. I am wellness. I am. I am free. I am freedom. I am. I am successful. I am success. I am. And you can do these just during the day. I only lead you in them together just to remind you to do this. And then we're going to add a little bit of breath work with this. So we're going to breathe in. Meditation is very much about breathing. So we're going to breathe in through the nose, hold it, and release through the mouth. It's all about nitrogen, nitrous oxide getting into the cells of your body. It's very important to keep yourself not only hydrated, but also ventilated, it's not the word, but that you keep yourself full, oxygenated. And all that's very important. In the scriptures, I say this every time, but breath and spirit are used interchangeably. So let's do seven of them, okay? Because I didn't do this last week. We're going to go in here, hold, and release. Again, release. I start feeling relaxed on my second breath, sometimes on my first. In, hold, out. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. I think that was five. Give me two more. Inhale. Exhale. In. Out. If it was eight, then you got an extra one. All right. I've got several things I want to share with you. I speak into this atmosphere and say, let there be light. I'm going to refer to several scriptures in a moment, but let me give you a little bit of backstory. I love backstory. I'm watching there's a series, it's on Paramount TV, it's called The Offer, and it's all about how they made the movie The Godfather, because this is the 50th anniversary of The Godfather this year. And four episodes have been out. I've watched the first four. And being a cinephile, as I am, and loving context, I really enjoyed this. And there's a lot about the story that I didn't even know, and I thought I knew everything there was to know about The Godfather. I love backstories. Most of the movies I watch now are digital or on different platforms, but one thing I do miss about the DVD era is I love when you buy a DVD of a movie and it had like extras on it. It would tell you about the making of. I'm always fascinated at where an idea came from, and especially if you're in a certain age group. A lot of these characters and movies that they mention in this, I mean, it's R-rated. I'm not telling you to. Okay, I got you. Just so you know, when you email me, it comes on the screen, so just hold on a little bit. But, a lot of the events of that time, it's very interesting, especially if you're a history buff, and don't watch it with your kids. I mean, it's the making of The Godfather, so it's you know, appropriately R-rated. But I'm saying that to say, I love, if I'm going to give you a message, I got to give you backstory. All right. So two Sundays ago, I was standing out here, as I do when we do, when Metron goes mobile, and I was getting ready to do my, you know, hit the button that helps you go live. And I had a glitch, and I could not get it unglitched. And the thing about trying to fix a glitch is I can see all of your comments. Like when people are saying, oh my God, where is he? Where is he? And I'm getting texts. Where are you? Where are you? And I love that you care about it that much, but it also throws me a little bit because I'm trying to answer you while I'm saying, I'm trying to get this fixed. I'm trying to figure it out. Anyway, it just kind of spiraled downward, and I could not get the thing to work, no matter how I tried. And I don't think it's hyperbole to say that during the day, I tried to log on, I'm going to say at least 100 times, and that's a modest estimation. It was probably much more than that. And every time I tried it, I just could not get it going. Now, let me explain. Most of you who know me already know this about me, but if you hear my voice, let me explain this to you. I'm not a preacher. I don't aspire to be a preacher. I come from a family of great preachers. I don't care. Being a great pulpitarian has, even when I had a large church, that's always been low priority with me. I know how to put a sermon together. I took 2 years of homiletics in college. I know all about hermeneutics and all of these things that go into constructing a sermon, and they're valid. I mean, so when I went to college, I started preaching when I was a little bit before my 14th birthday, right at my 14th birthday. So by the time I went to college, I'd already been preaching for about 4 years. But homiletics helped me. It helped me organize thoughts. And, you know, I there is an art to preaching. And it in the long run, turned out to be something that I actually did use. And it was valuable. But I don't care about sermons. I care about delivering a word. I remember years ago, I was somewhere, a retreat or something, and I ended up sharing a room with an Episcopal priest. And this is back when the church was big, and I was on TV and radio, and I used to travel. We did at least two Sunday morning services. There was a period we actually did three Sunday morning services. For a while, we actually even did a Saturday night. So I gave a message, if you want to call that preaching or teaching or whatever it is I do. I did that for sure every day, and sometimes four or five times a day. And I remember this, he asked me, and if you're Episcopal, don't be offended at this, but he asked me, he said, how many times a week do you preach? And I said, I don't know, 15, 16, sometimes 20. Back then, I used to go up to New Life Bible College about every other month, and I would do a full week of teaching up there, which was every morning and every night. So, I mean, I've been doing this for 50 years, I mean, I've been doing this a lot for 50 years. And never took vacations. I mean, that's the way my dad was. Like, if we went on vacation, we went after church on Wednesday night and got back by Saturday night to be there for Sunday. That's just in my DNA. That's what you did. And so I'm just used to that. And I remember this priest, he said, "You preach that many times a week?" He said, "I do one 30-minute homily every Sunday, and it takes my entire week to put that together." He said, "How do you come up with that much material?" And I said, "Well, just, I don't know. I think the more you do, the more you can do. It's sort of like priming a pump, and you just go where the anointing is." And that concept was foreign to him. I'm not saying that Episcopal priests don't understand the anointing. I'm just saying that was not his concept. I'm saying that to say, when I posted that I was having difficulty, many people, even some of you here, said, "Well, maybe God or the universe is telling you to take the day off." Let me explain to you how I think about that. First of all, preaching is not work to me. It's cathartic to me. Secondly, and I'm not yelling at you for saying that. I'm just trying to explain this to you. If I have a word, which most times I do, I can't sit on it for days. A word, it's like manna. You know, manna, they had to eat it every day, and they couldn't store it up in the wilderness. If they stored it up, it got contaminated and filled with worms. And so, to me, saying, "I'll just preach this next Sunday when we're in the theater," that's like baking a cake and saying, "I just frosted this cake and you can eat it a week from now." It's like, it doesn't work. If it was a sermon, if I was putting a sermon together, that would be different. But a word, you know, when Jeremiah said, "Your word was like fire shut up in my bones," he wasn't saying that in a positive way. I mean, Jeremiah was a little bit bipolar. And if you read the 20th chapter of his book, he's very conflicted about the ministry and is blaming God. Why did you get me into this? I didn't even want to do this. And he says, "I didn't even want to preach, but it was like fire shut up in my bones. I had to do it." In other words, you gave me this message, and if I didn't share this message, it would consume me. And so I feel that way. It wasn't about taking the day off or whatever. It's that I am, you know, all of my intention is, I have a word, I need to share it. I'm used to sharing it at 11 a.m. And that's a part of what I want to talk about, the whole 11 a.m. thing. So, kept trying it all day Monday. Still, every time I would click on Facebook, it would say, "This video has already played," and there's no way I could undo it. Monday afternoon, I thought, you know what? I'll just record it. I'll make a video of it, and then I'll post it online. So I came up here and I did the whole thing, and it was just, there was not glitches with that, but it was like, the file is too big and I can't send, there's no way I can send it. I tried to do it through YouTube. Just could not get it done. So then later it occurred to me, I thought, you know what, I've never done one on my fan page. I'm sure I could probably do it. I could do it that way. So I came up here, I made an announcement. I said, I'm gonna go live Monday night and at 7, and it was a beautiful setting. The sun was setting up here, and I got up here and I hit the button on my fan page, and it started doing the same thing. And I was just about ready to wave the flag of surrender. And then I'm just sitting there staring at the phone, and then all of a sudden, It breaks through. Suddenly I have a connection. Now, I'm going to say something about someone who may be watching today, or her siblings or friends may be watching today, and I've been very careful to protect her identity, whether you think I should or not. Anyway, this is somebody that has messaged me on occasion before about needing money in crisis. And it seems to have always come at the most inopportune time. When I'm looking back at our history of messages, every time this person has ever messaged me, I'm like, I can't do this right now. I'm in the middle of a meeting. And this person knows how to power text and power message. But it's an emergency. It's an emergency. I have an emergency. And this is a person who, you know, has got a situation. You know, I won't go into it, but... And so, I'm just going to be very candid with you. A lot of times I'll just say, I can't do it. And I'll say, what about, you know, if you can't do 30, can you do 20? And then after a while, you're like, okay, fine. This is the only way I'm going to get this person, you know, to go away. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but that's honestly the case. Because she's relentless. So just as I broke through... Monday night, suddenly when somebody gives to me on PayPal, it drops down about halfway the screen and it says, so and so has just sent you $2,000. Well, that's distracting enough because I'm like, what's that about? This is a person who never has money and suddenly they're sending me $2,000. All right, I'll deal with this later because I just now got this connection and I don't want to lose it. Again, I want to share this word. Well, here comes the missed calls and the power texting. Bishop, I accidentally sent you $2,000. Can you please send it back? So I stopped and I said, I'm in the middle of a live broadcast. I can't stop right now. I'll get it back to you as soon as I can. No, I need it now. I need it now. I need it now. So in the drama of the moment, I accepted the money, turned right around, and sent her $2,000. And assuming... Are we good now? Don't call me anymore. And stop calling me during my broadcast because I'm in the middle of this. I talked to Howie this week. He said, do people ask you for money a lot? I said, I don't want to say constantly. It's not as extreme as it was when the church was big, but it's a pretty regular stream of requests. It's either online or all the indigent people around here asking me for money. I was I recently went to, there's a Popeye's Chicken over here on close to Ponce. And one day, from the time I put my order, I was at a drive-thru. By the time I put my order in, to the time I got to the window, which is just, it's just right there, five, count them five, people had come to my window begging for money. I thought, wow, five in like 30 seconds. So, anyway, it's caused this situation that as of yet is still not resolved. And the reason I keep saying, please stop sending me unsolicited advice is, again, trying not to be sarcastic, but most of the stuff hundreds of people are telling me to do, I already did that. People say, you need to tell your bank. Like, really? You think? I did that the very next day. You need to call PayPal. What? I hadn't thought of that. Yes, I've been on the phone for an hour with PayPal. We're still trying to figure it out. I'm still telling you, please don't send me money on PayPal. As of yet, it is the $2,000 has not been drafted from my bank account, but it is drafted from PayPal. Please don't make me explain this again. But like, for instance, somebody sent me, who may be watching right now, sent me $25 yesterday who didn't see the message because she sent it through Messenger. I said, Messenger is connected to PayPal. So I didn't get the money. It went into, now I owe PayPal $2,000 minus minus 30, because Ken had sent me $5 and this person sent me 25 yesterday. I don't need any more advice. I'm believing that the thing's going to get resolved. I have talked to the person. Ken has talked to her. She's apologized, repented, and swears she's trying to fix it. I've had 100 people tell me I should file a police report and arrest her. Well, I could do that, but that's still not going to get my money back. I don't know if she just went through the... She got the $2,000 and went through it quickly. I don't know. And it's kind of a mystery. And typically when PayPal does an investigation, it takes 5 to 7 days. So we're just working on it. And when I say don't give me any more advice, it's not that I don't appreciate it, but I'm just inundated with people telling me what to do. And I'm like, I've already done that. I know to contact a bank. And I know, now in fairness, one thing I did say, because I've posted a little bit about it, because I do want to hold her accountable, because she was in the wrong. I mean, honestly, if it was 20 bucks, I'd be like, you know, whatever. Jesus said, if someone asks for your coat, give them your cloak also. $2,000, I don't know if that's a lot of money to you, but it's a lot of money to me. So I can't let this one slide. So I'm believing that we're going to get this resolved. What's this got to do with your word? All right, let me explain. Because I'm getting to the scriptures in a moment. And I've also had scores of people saying, have you tried Cash App or Zelle or Venmo? I'm like, yeah, clearly you've never given to me. I have all of those and use them all the time. Every time I post that thing that says all my links, that's got all of the... Yeah, you're right, dude. You can buy a lot of cloaks for $2,000. Exactly. So, anyway, I believe this will get resolved. And I posted a picture of Jacob wrestling with the angel, because that's, to me, that's symbolic of how you deal with everything. Everything that comes along that looks like it could be a curse, you will wrestle with the angel until it blesses you. And last week when I shared, I wasn't going to share this publicly, but I'm glad that I did, because someone was at Metron last week who knows this person, who identified who it was. I didn't, to let me know it definitely was intentionally a scam. It wasn't a mistake. So I have no regrets about that. But even when I talked about this, somebody last week, just because, you know, for full discretion, somebody at Metron gave me $2,000 last week. They said this word was so good. I said, well, no, I'm okay financially. It's not. It hasn't drafted. And she said, that's not the point. It's like, God just told me to do it. I'm like, okay, fine. So I don't want you to think, look, let me explain something. I am prosperous. I will always be prosperous. Anybody who steals from me always, it's not smart. And I'm not trying to play the touch not mine anointed card, but let me just tell you, and I shared this with this person who's got a lot of issues. I said, I understand you're in crisis right now, but stealing or attempting to steal from me is not going to make your situation any better. I'm not saying God's going to destroy you or anything like that, but it's just not smart. It's not smart in general. It's bad karma, but especially don't do it to me, because bad stuff has happened to people. I don't want to sound manipulative when I say this, but people who have tried stuff with me before, it ended up really badly. So I'm like, I don't understand how the whole thing works. Just don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. So I believe in wrestling with the angel. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. So I believe when a situation comes that's potentially negative, you wrestle with it until it blesses you. So not only will I come through this thing, I will become even more prosperous. So don't feel sorry for me. It's like Paul writing to the Philippians in chapter chapter 4, he said, I thank you for the gift that you sent through Epaphroditus, but you had more need to give than I had to receive. He said, I have all. The Greek literally says, he says, I'm rich, but he said, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and you needed to give that fruit may abound to your account. So don't worry, I'm fine. Even Zach out in Hawaii wrote me, he said, do you need money? Do I need to send something? I said, no, I'm fine. I'm blessed. Those of you that give to Metron, I get a steady paycheck. It's all good. I did post a meme this week that I wholeheartedly endorse. And it says, when you change, why is this happening to me, to what is this trying to teach me, everything shifts. I know down to my gut that that's the truth. So, here's the next part of the backstory. I meet with my sons, whoever are in town. Jonah's in Europe again. Jared was in Europe earlier this week and is about to go back, but he had to go to Belgium to do a couple of gigs, and he's back now. So this thing we've been doing that we facetiously call Wednesday night Bible study, men's fellowship, it's a standing date, whoever can be there. So this past Wednesday night, Judah and Jared and I met, and we have a little bit of a thing that we do every Wednesday night. We go around the table, and I say, "What? Well, first of all, what are you grateful for?" And then the next question is, "What have you learned recently?" The third thing is what challenges are you having right now? Because that opens up the table. Maybe we can be a resource for you. Maybe we can help you. And that has, without uncovering any of them, let me tell you, that's been invaluable. Because when somebody at the table is going through something, the other people are able to say, you know, to help. And it's been enormously helpful for all four of us. And, you know, if Christina were here in town, she would meet with us, too. It's not, when I say it's men's fellowship, I'm not trying for it to be a boys' club. It just happens that my three sons are in town here with me. So, Judah spoke and Jared spoke, and then Judah said, well, what did you learn from this situation with somebody trying to scam you for the money? And I had to think about it for a minute. What did I learn, or what am I learning? And then it occurred to me. I thought, you know what I think I'm supposed to learn? I think and I say this in humility, but at the level I'm walking in, my emotional state creates reality. It's kind of like Joe Dispenza, where he says, the universe does not respond to what you want as much as it responds to who you are being. And to the point, and this is after years of teaching and understanding meditation and everything, that if I let myself get stressed about a situation, it can be dangerous, because the stress, like my emotions are attractive enough that if I send out stressful vibrations, it has a tendency to attract more things to be frustrated about. And that's true for everybody, but I just think where I'm at this point in my walk, I mean, I am an elder. I'm just telling you, I'm anointed. I'm gifted. And so I have to be very careful about the things that I say or the things that I feel, because my words get immediate response. And some of you that are, if that you're on the same journey I am, you'll notice as you go to the, whatever the next level is, and I know that term is overused, but you'll notice that the higher you go, the higher frequency you vibrate on, the more you're going to have to really watch your words and really just be careful about how you react to things. Even this week, my friend Howie had just gotten back from his latest cruise. He's gone on a lot of cruises lately. And so we were catching up on everything, and I was telling him about it. And he said, you know, I don't believe in the devil in the conventional sense. He said, I don't think of a devil that's trying to devour us. He said, but do you think like negative forces were coming against you with your word? And I said, well, possibly, but I think I was sending out the negative force. Like, for me, when Paul said, give no place to the devil, what that means to me is, don't let your own vibration work against you. If you need to believe in a real devil, if devil's real important to you, then, you know, I honor your devil worship. But I don't live in that reality. I believe that, you know, our thoughts become God. Our thoughts become the one who is, can't think of the word. Anyway, and I just taught that a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about Job. Anyway, I said, this is what I think I've learned from this. That's what I said to my boys the other night. I know they're all grown men, but to me, they're the boys. I said, I think I'm learning, because I've learned so much about serenity in the last 2 years of meditating. I can't afford to let myself... Oh, you're on... Hey, Howie, I didn't know you were on here. I can't afford to let myself get stressed like that. So that what should have happened with the message last week, I should have just said, look, I'm having technical difficulties. I'll get it resolved as soon as possible. I've got a good word for you. Stay tuned. I think if I had just said that, I think it probably would have gotten resolved. As a matter of fact, I'm jumping ahead a little bit in the story, but Charles from my tech team, he messaged me. He said, is there something I can help you with your phone? I said, it's not my phone. It's a situation with Facebook. If it was a situation with my phone, I would just take it to Apple. And he said, well, bring it to me after the service Sunday and I'll look at it. Okay, fine. So we got through the service last week. And I have to say, if you haven't seen the sermon from last week, it's on the Bishop Jim Swilly page. Do yourself a favor and watch it. It will help you. So it's when the service was over, I took it back to him. And you know how, if you ever had your car make a terrible noise, and as soon as you drive into the mechanics, it stops. I clicked on it and it went live immediately. I said, Charles, so help me God. That's the first time I have tried this all week. It's the first time he's done it, Charles. Charles cracks me up. He says, the power of Charles compels you. I said, I don't know what you did. I don't know what you did, but you just somehow by osmosis fixed it. And I think what fixed it is I stopped stressing about it. Just bear with me here. So, sometime during the whole thing, Sunday or Monday of that week, whatever was going on. There is. Okay, thank you, Avery. She said there's a link in the shout. Okay, good. See, you would know where it was if you just read the email. And if you want it, if you're not getting it, go to bishinthenow.com and click on it. Boom, you're in. You don't even have to ask me that. So, I don't know if she texted me and said, is there anything I can do? And I texted back and said, I've never felt so defeated. As soon as I wrote that, I thought, that's not true. That's so over the top. Like, somebody give this guy an Oscar. This is not that big a deal. I was frustrated because I tried it. Because I've got this word, this word that's like, it's like the Holy Spirit's going, say it, say it, say it. And you're like, I'm trying to. And, you know, people are like, where are you, where are you? And like, I'm trying to. What I should have said, and this is the lesson I have learned, is if, God forbid, that happens again, I will say, I got to settle down. When I'm in the theater, I've got a great tech team that takes care of all that. But when I'm on my own, it's just me. So it's fine. I'll get it figured out. It's not like we're on a time limit. So next time, if that happens again, I will not I will not sabotage myself with my own energy. You understand what I'm saying? So, yes, I learned it from that. Are you saying, Bishop, is that why that person tried to scam you for the $2,000 at that time? Yes, I think so. It's because I was already I had stepped out of my space, out of my zone. I had stepped out of that place where I'm in command. I was in the wrong reality. I think if the next time something like that happens, I would just say, I'm in the middle of a thing. Don't text me again. I'll fix this as soon as I can. And this is, you know, I've been talking about this for years. Just next time you're in the middle of what you think is a crisis, take a breath, settle down. Don't make it worse. Sometimes when you overreact to a situation, you exacerbate it. You take a situation that's probably benign. We got sirens in the city. Probably benign. And then you amp it up and make it worse. Hang on. You make it worse by overreacting to it. I mean, the first book I wrote years ago was Activating the Power of Life and Death, and I talked about, yes, I was right for the picking. Exactly, Leslie. I talked about when Jairus came to Jesus and he said, my daughter's sick, and Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. And while they're en route, somebody comes to Jairus and says, don't trouble the master any further. Your little daughter is dead. And he turns to Jairus and he says, be not afraid, only believe. And it's kind of like you don't have control over everything that happens to you, but you have control over how a thing is going to play out. In quantum physics, they talk about the observer effect, how that the quantum field has all of this potential that is neither positive nor negative. It's like the tree of life instead of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the sirens were saying amen, absolutely. It is kind of funny now that you mention it. Sometimes when I get to a really strong point, it does kind of set off sirens, who knows. But the observer effect, and I've taught on this, but the observer effect is however you see the thing. It's kind of like the scientific explanation of wrestling with the angel until it blesses you. However you see the thing in the quantum field, it collapses into your reality. I know Benedict Cumberbatch hosted SNL last night. He's in a movie right now about, I think it's Doctor Strange, and it's all about the multiverse. And there's something to that there's any number of ways a thing is going to play out. Whether you call that the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, whatever it is, there's any number of ways a thing can play out. So, at least, this is what I believe, at least I understand what happened to me. I've gotten a grip on it. And if God forbid, I'm going to go to an extreme here, and if she's watching, I'm not letting you off the hook for the $2,000. And, you know, I don't want to have to get the cops involved, so don't make me go there. But I believe so much that if God forbid, I check my bank statement when I get through preaching here and they've drafted $2,000, then I'll be like, fine, then $20,000 is coming in. I mean, that's how, you nearly have to be that extreme. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, we believe God will deliver us from this fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow to Nebuchadnezzar. So, and Avery knows me well enough, she didn't overreact to the text, but I thought, never felt so defeated, really. That's a little over the top, just because you feel frustrated. So next time, you know, I'm more powerful now, because next time I'm like, okay, if I'm getting rattled or whatever, I'll be like, I got to calm down. I got to get back in my zone. where the word of a king is, there is authority. I'm going to start saying how this thing is going to play out. So I have been able to arrest this thing, and I promise you all things will work together for my good. All right, now here's the scriptures. Two or three things come to mind quickly. One of them is in Psalm 19. Psalm 19 has 14 verses in it, and at the end of Psalm 19, it says, David says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Verse 13, which is the previous verse, because David was very introspective. He was constantly doing self-examination and could be very transparent. He was, you know, calling down curses on his enemies, and then he would end, because they were originally songs. The Psalms are lyrics to songs. He would end the song by saying something like, "Create me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me." Like, he would always kind of take the journey to the dark side and then resolve it. In verse 13, he says, the King James says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults and keep your servant, keep him held back from presumptuous sins." It's kind of like, it's sort of an Old Testament equivalent to Romans 7 when Paul says, the things I would do, I find myself not doing. The things I would not do, I find myself doing. It's basically, when he says, who can understand his errors, he's becoming introspective. He's saying, before I blame forces outside of me, before I put this off on God or the devil or something else, I want to understand, am I possibly making this happen? I mean, show me what I can do to fix the situation. So I want to remind you of that. And then another scripture that comes to mind is Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to uncover the matter." And years ago at Church of the Now, I did a really powerful teaching. Several people stole it from me and taught it on TBN. But I talked about how the sword and the stone, the legend of King Arthur, how that half of the sword was exposed and half of it was embedded in the rock. And back then I talked about how the part that you can see is the Logos word and the part that's obscured is the Rhema word, and it's your responsibility to pull the sword, which is the word. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. So I talked about, you pull the sword out. In other words, you get your rhema word. You find out what's going on. Instead of saying, why is this happening to me? You say, what is this trying to teach me? Okay? And then another scripture that comes to mind is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesians in chapter 1, where in verse 17 he says, I pray that you be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of your calling. And so the Greek literally says, I pray that your heart has vision, that you can see deeply into a situation what's really going on. And that's why, we used to sing all kinds of songs like "Open the Eyes of My Heart." And that's because your heart does have eyes. And the more you see with your heart, the better. Even, like, if you ever see Hindus, and they've got that, especially Hindu women, they've got that little red dot right there. It's indicative of the third eye. It means I want to be able to see things beyond what I'm seeing with the natural. It's sort of like the equivalent of we walk by faith and not by sight. Or faith is the evidence of things not seen, or we look to the unseen things because they are eternal. The seen things are temporal. And then finally, one other scripture that comes to mind. I'm gonna bring this all together. It's in 1 John chapter 2, and it's where John's really out there anyway, but especially in 1 John chapter 2. I mean, that's some really cosmic concepts, because he says things in that chapter like, you have no need that any man should teach you. But in verse 20, he says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Meaning, stop asking outside yourself and go within. Now, this question has been asked me within the last couple of years since I've incorporated meditation into what I teach. Some people have asked me, they said, do you not pray anymore? And I said, no, I pray. As a matter of fact, I've learned a lot about prayer that I didn't know. Even in the last few weeks. I taught a couple of weeks ago about my neighbors who to this very minute are as quiet as a mouse. I don't know if it was just that one prayer, but it's something shut them up. And if they're fighting, I'm not hearing it. But so I believe prayer, but I think prayer is lateral. Prayer isn't me trying to convince a deity to get up off your throne and do something about the situation. It's deep calling unto deep. So I do believe in prayer. And I do believe in a higher power. I don't necessarily think there's an old Jewish man on a throne somewhere, but I know there's something greater than us, that whether you call that the divine or the unknown or that's why I don't split hairs if you say the universe, because I'm like, tomato, tomato. You're talking about the same thing. The concept of God is a bigger concept than Jewish patriarchy. People in the Old Testament understood authority figures as being men, so they ascribed gender to God. But God is a bigger concept than that. When people say, is the Bible the Word of God? I'm like, well, it contains the Word of God. It's got the Word of God in it. It can connect you to the Word of God. But the Word of God is what God is saying right now. And I promise you, all of the Bible writers would back me up on this. I think Isaiah and Jeremiah and David, I think they would be horrified to see how bibliolatry has affected religion, especially in this country, and taken their words and made doctrines out of them. They were just trying to understand transcendence in their generation. Do I believe the scriptures are inspired? Absolutely. Are they infallible? No. That's why they have to be rightly divided. They don't claim to be infallible. I'm inspired. God speaks through me, but not everything that comes out of my mouth needs to be written down and turned into a doctrine. So, I'm saying all that to say this about meditation, first of all. When people say, do you still pray? Let me tell you how I think about this. When it's things outside of me, I will still pray. When it's things that are in my personal life, things about me, I am more prone now to meditate and go inside because I believe what John said. I do believe I have an anointing from the Holy One and I know all things. And like I remember back in the day when I used to spend so much time counseling. I used to go, my schedule was filled with counseling. If you wonder why when you text me now I get right to the point, it's because I've been doing this for years and years and years. And sometimes by the time people would come to me with a problem, their problem was so complex and they had done so much to make it even worse that it's like when one of your children would bring the shoelaces to you and there's like 20 knots in them and you think, we're just going to have to cut this shoelace. I can't fix this. So if I ever had a situation like that, sometimes I would say to the person, I'd say, all right, your problem is complicated. I've told you all I know. But let's imagine that you just made this appointment with Jesus. That's Jesus sitting behind this desk. What do you think he would tell you to do in this situation? And 10 times out of 10, I would sit there and hear them tell themselves what to do. Well, I think he would probably tell me to forgive the person and let it go and whatever. And then I would say, well, then there's your answer. And I think meditation cuts through all of the talk and chatter about a situation and gets right down to it. Am I making this happen? Is this coming out of me? Proverbs says, out of the heart are the issues of life. Is this my doing? If I'm really the thermostat of my life and not the thermometer, then I need to figure out what I'm doing. If you need to do that through therapy or whatever, more power to you. I have nothing against any of those things. This is what I want to leave with you, and what I am now in the process of learning, even through something like this. This situation has not played out yet, but it will, and it will play to my favor. I promise you that. You have to get to the place that no matter what's happening in your life, that it is never your first response to say, why is this happening to me? I'm telling you, there is nothing more dangerous than the idea of victimization. Once you walk in victimization, once you get into, woe is me, I can't believe this thing happened to me, you're in trouble. Especially as you go higher and higher, on higher frequencies, because your own energy will work against you. If you want to call that give no place to the devil, fine. If in your mind you need to personify Satan and make that a person, then if that's where you are, if that works for you, namaste. But we all have to get to the place where whatever happens, your first thing is, all right, what's going on? Is there something in me that I can adjust to fix this? And I'm talking about even, I'm not talking about blaming yourself. I'm not talking about getting down on yourself. I'm saying even if you had a situation where you were in a terrible relationship with somebody else and they did horrible things to you and you cannot live with them anymore and you were delivered from them, you still have to say, what role did I play in this? Because if you don't, you're going to leave that relationship feeling like a victim, and you're going to take your victimization into the next relationship, and that next person is not going to be able to fix what you think you need fixed. If it's nothing more than, you know what, I knew when I met them, they were going to be trouble. Well, then at least, then give yourself that. Then say, I knew better. I knew that was the case. And I went and did it anyway. I'm not talking about self-blame. I'm talking about understanding. Why is this situation happening? What is it trying to teach me? Everything that comes, I can either turn it into a problem by how I look at it. God brought the animals to see what he would name them, and whatever Adam called them is what God called them. So every situation that comes to you, God, whoever, spirit, universe, source, is saying, what are you going to call this? If you call it a problem, it becomes a problem. If you call it a teachable moment, you say, all right, I'm in school right now. I'm learning some stuff. I'm learning some stuff about how the universe works. I'm learning some stuff about myself. I got to take finals, but I will graduate from this thing summa cum laude. I will graduate with honors. And when I get out of this problem, I will be that much wiser and smarter. Until you get to the place, I want to be so zen by the time I'm older, much older, that anything that happens, I could just be like, just stop it right there. Like, remember towards the end of The Color Purple, when Suge Avery is taking Celia away, and Mister runs out and he says, where do you think you're going? You're black, you're poor, you're a woman, you're ugly. And she says all that, I may be all that, but dear God, I'm here. And then she goes like that. I want to get to that place, and no matter what happens, I can go, nobody plays me, you can't do that to me. I've already been down this road. I've already learned this lesson. So, and if I can really get extreme, I would say, become grateful for everything that happens. Because everything that happens, whether you understand it or not, even if you say, I haven't figured this one out yet, but I guarantee you all things will still work together for my good. I don't know if there's something I need to fix in my thinking. Like Louise Hay used to say, I don't fix my problems, I fix my thinking, and my problems fix themselves. I completely agree with that. And so next time, and this is a valuable lesson that I've learned, next time I have technical difficulties, guess what? I'm going to look at it and say, it's just a technical difficulty. Stuff happens. This word will be delivered at the right time, and I'm not going to stress about it. And if you're trying to scam me for money, I'm going to see it, because I'm not going to be distracted with all the stuff that's going on and just wanting to shut you up. I can just be like, no, shh, I can't deal with you right now. I can't deal with you right now. It's funny, just as I said that, it disconnected. But so that's what I'm saying to you. Stop. I'm saying this with as much compassion as I can. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and get smart. Stop saying, why did they do this? Just, like last night, I was on Facebook and I looked at an event that happened that I thought I probably should have been invited to that. Because a lot of other people that I know were at this thing, and I wasn't invited to it. And I thought, I wonder why they didn't ask me. I didn't have anything going on. And then I sat there and thought about it for a minute, and I thought, oh, you know what? I think I know why. It's fine. It's okay. And I made peace with it. Like before I had a chance to say, why didn't y'all invite me? I'd be like, yeah, I understand. Seeing things from their vantage point, I get it. I want to understand all things. I want to walk in a gift of understanding. I don't want to be victimized by things. And this thing that I'm going through with PayPal, there may be other lessons in it yet that I'm yet to learn. And if they are, then so be it. Bring it on. I will learn how to deal with this better the next time, and I'm going to become so serene, so in charge, that when I say, I can say, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And he says, anything that is not of those two extremes is where all evil comes from. So, stop trying to figure out why they did what they did or why they said what they said. And even understanding something doesn't mean you can be okay with it. It's like, you know, if somebody hurts you, you don't want to just keep going back and letting them continue to hurt you. But you do at least need to understand, oh, this is how they see life. And this is how they see me. And, you know, if people see you a certain way, it's very, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it takes a minute to change people's perception of you. If people have an old idea of you, sometimes you will. It's like Jesus going into his hometown, and he could do no mighty miracles there because the people said this is just Joseph the carpenter's son. Part of that's because they affected his self-perception, because we saw from the Mount of Temptation that he was dealing with his own thoughts. He called his thoughts Satana. So when he said, this is just Joseph the carpenter's son, for a moment, he probably thought, I guess I'm just Joseph the carpenter's son. And it said he could do no mighty miracles there. So the way other people perceive you, especially if you're emotionally vulnerable to them, you can get pulled into their vortex. Before you know it, you start acting like they're expecting you to act. And, you know, there's constantly different realities that are at war with one another. And anytime I see myself being pulled into the wrong reality, it's my responsibility to say, wait a minute, I know how to do this. I'm going to pull this back into my reality. I'm calling the way this thing is going to turn out of the issue of my heart is my life. So, I could say more, but you get the gist of it. Psalm 19, Proverbs 25, Ephesians 1, 1 John 2. All of those are talking about either introspection or trying to understand what is this thing trying to teach me. Everything is trying to teach you something. And if you'll open your eyes and ears, you're going to learn so much. You're not getting older, you're getting smarter, you're getting better, you're becoming wiser. It's less easy, like people can't trigger you. You know how to get people to stop triggering you? Figure out where the triggers are and remove them. It's like Jesus, I taught this a few weeks ago. Jesus said, Satan has come to me, but he has nothing in me. In other words, somebody comes to you and they're trying to push your buttons. You're like, man, you can't play me anymore. It's awesome. That to me is a huge part of living abundant life. So, I believe you received this word. If you want to support Metron, go to bishinthenow.com. It's super easy. Just click on a button. If you want to give to me right now, don't give on PayPal. You can give on Zelle, you can give on Cash App, or you can give on Venmo. I don't know of any other ones that there are. But don't give to me through Messenger right now, because Messenger is connected to PayPal and it just goes into this phantom debit. I know I've said that a lot, but there's still people who haven't heard it. And sometimes on Sunday, people send me money, and I don't want... If you send it to me, I want to get it. I got to take my mom to lunch in a minute. So, and whatever you give, I believe it's good ground, and it's going to be multiplied back to you, okay? You have wisdom, you have insight, you have knowledge. You have the mind of Christ. You have the anointing. You are learning. You are growing. And even, I'm going to say this, even if it's a situation that you've totally messed up, if you're hearing this and you say, my God, I should have heard this sermon a week ago. You know what? It's not too late. Jesus said Lazarus' sickness was not unto death, and Lazarus still died. By the way, thank you, Avery. Metron's PayPal account is okay. You can give to Metron, but thank you, Avery. You can give to Metron through PayPal. That's a completely separate thing. Thank you. Good point. Don't stop giving. If that's how you give, don't stop giving to Metron. But Jesus said it was not a sickness unto death, and Lazarus still died, and Jesus came and raised him from the dead. Or in the Old Testament, when the Spirit asked the prophet, can these bones live again? And he said, Lord, you know. And then the bones began to live. So even if you've totally screwed up a situation, it's still not too late for you to learn something. And there's still a blessing in there somewhere. The very fact that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, means the kingdom of God's not always obvious. You have to seek it. You have to look for it. In Luke, Jesus says the kingdom does not come by observation. So sometimes a lesson's not just slapping you in the face. You got to look at it. But I'm telling you this, the minute you start to say, woe is me, why is everybody after me? You're already in trouble. You got to stop that business now, because it'll eat you up like a cancer. Stop it right now and say, no. I am not a victim. I'm going to learn from this situation. And until then, I'm going to walk easy. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to go within. I'm going to find out how to resolve this. I'm going to turn this around, and all things work together for my good. I love you. Book your room. You're going to miss such a great event if you don't go to meditation number 15. And I'll be back here next week, and hopefully see you in the theater on June 6th. I love you. Peace.